struggling to move your nonprofit forward? You've come to the right place. Welcome to the Nonprofit Architect, where we are giving you the actionable steps you need to launch and grow your nonprofit organization. Now, here's your host, Travis Johnson.
Hey, this is Travis Johnson, the Nonprofit Architect, helping you build a stronger nonprofit on today with Adrian Phillips. How are you doing today, Adrian?
I am wonderful. Thank you so much for asking. How are you doing?
You know what? I am kicking it old school, 7,000 miles away from y'all on the COVID world wide web, connecting with people, still making things happening, like yourself running the amazing Savvy, the Strategic Alliance for Veteran Alliance or Integration, excuse me. But Savvy is what you prefer to be calling. You're really trying to make that the name, right?
That's it. That's us, Savvy. It resonates in everything we do. We're making vets savvy about their benefits. So.
Oh, that's wonderful. Tell us a little bit about Savvy, how you get started, and whatever else you want to sprinkle in there.
Absolutely. Well, first of all, thank you for having me. I know it's been challenging times, but you know, thanks to technology and you know, the opportunity to connect in a virtual world, we're able to still continue to have these incredible shows like yours and still be able to have conversations that are needed right now as we're all going through a challenging time. So Savvy was really born out of necessity. I've been in the veterans benefits sector for about 13 years. And I myself, being a veteran, had a very rough transition out of the military. Despite doing everything I was told that I was supposed to do, you know, I attended the transition assistance program, I did the resume writing, all of the things that I, you know, had on my checklist. And yet still, when I got out, I was on the brink of homelessness. I was doing babysitting jobs, commission-based jobs. It felt like, you know, I had failed somewhere and I wasn't really sure where the disconnect was because I did what I was told I was supposed to do. And I thought that that was enough. About 6 months later, I ended up getting my first opportunity with an amazing nonprofit organization. And that started my career in the veterans benefits sector, really working with disability compensation and looking at how veterans not only qualify, but how they can apply their benefits to help them achieve their goals after they get out of the military. And about 2011, I started a for-profit company. And very similar to getting out of the military, it was a very confusing and convoluted process. I had no idea what my benefits were as a veteran business owner. I was calling a lot of people, being redirected, misdirected. And so I got frustrated and I said, you know what, if I'm ever able to survive business, I will absolutely reinvest into the veteran community because there has to be a better way to do these things and get access to benefits and resources and information without having to make it a full-time job because that's what it felt like. So fast forward to about 3 years ago, I launched Savvy after spending 6 to 7 months just in strategy and development. And what that meant was just talking to a lot of people, trying to figure out what people's feelings were about transition, how well they understood benefits, where they felt that the need was currently in the marketplace, because there's over 50,000 nonprofits that are currently serving the veteran community. So there's a lot of us that are out here doing some really incredible work, but fundamentally there is a disconnect because either A, the benefits are not being utilized, or B, the ones that are being utilized, veterans don't really understand what it is that they're utilizing. So therefore they're not maximizing those benefits. So once we went public, it was really with the intention of supporting the actively transitioning military community. So what that means is 1 year pre-separation to 1 year post-separation. Currently, 85% of our program participants are still on active duty. We do work with Guard and Reserve as well. But what we provide them is a 12-month program, educating them on their basic federal entitlements. So all things VA, all things DOD for retirees. And we make sure that we're establishing an accountability process and a sounding board that they can come to and direct any of their questions. So throughout those 12 months, they are meeting with their transition coach every 4 to 6 weeks. We're reassessing where they're at, discussing their priorities, what their main objectives are, and we're connecting them to these ancillary benefits. So that 50,000 number that I gave you, we're connecting them to these organizations and giving them clarity around the process, because transition encompasses so many things. where you're going to work, what you're going to wear to work every day, family dynamics, are you going to rent, are you going to buy, what does taxation look like, what does my healthcare look like? Again, the list goes on, right? We're very dynamic people and we all have a very different circumstance. So fitting and adapting those benefits to the individual's needs is our primary focus. And the way that we do that is based on four tracks of transition, and that's education, entrepreneurship, retirement, and employment. So contingent on what the veteran's primary objective is ultimately how we start to customize those benefits to support them. So we work collaboratively with other veteran service organizations. We're all here to serve the veteran community. And our job, you know, at Savvy, again, is to educate them on what they are entitled to from a federal perspective, and then make sure that they're engaging effectively with these other organizations to help support their main objectives. And we do this, of course, at 100% no cost. So it's really an rewarding experience for me to be able to give back and use my business knowledge and background to really be able to bridge the gap when it comes to resources and veterans, because they're out there to take advantage of them. That's what they're intended for, right? They were established to help veterans be successful in the civilian sector. And so it's important for them to have knowledge that these things exist. And that was a really long-winded answer to your question, but this is exactly why I do what I do. I'm extremely passionate about vets and making sure that they get the benefits that they deserve.
Well, I mean, I am not okay accepting a half-ass answer, so I really appreciate the detail. And it's so easy to get a surface-level answer like, oh, we help veterans.
Right.
And if you can't define your mission statement and your vision, then you're not going to get any support. So when you have something that's a quote-unquote long-winded answer, that's got to make the people that are, you know, donating to you and supporting you really get the warm and fuzzy that you know not only what you're talking about, what you're doing, but you know where you're going.
Right.
That's really important.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. There's a lot of services out there. There's a lot of amazing organizations that are doing incredible work, but it's also a very oversaturated marketplace. So there's a lot of information to shift through. We're really here to help provide that clarity. Mm-hmm. And our mission is to clarify VA benefits and provide those custom transition solutions to veterans and the organizations that support them. So our mission satisfies both. It's a connection to the veteran, and it's a connection to the organizations that are already providing these incredible services so that it's not lost in translation. Veterans feel supported and they're able to connect with these amazing organizations.
No, and it's perfect. You're the third or fourth navigator that I've brought on the show where you're not starting your own, like, I want to help these people to this one thing. You're taking them in and you're like, all right, come along, buddy. You know, grab, you know, arms around each other. We're going to go this way. And here's how we're going to get through it. We're going to take these guys over here, these guys over here. We're going to take care of. I thought it was interesting that you spent 3 to 6 months in strategy development. So many of the nonprofit, I don't know what I would call my group of people, really. I need a coin a term to describe the people that I'm working with. But those with that great idea, and they have this desire, this burning desire to help. They want to do this nonprofit and they want to help this group of people, but they don't take the time to strategize for 3 to 6 months. How is that? Did you find that time valuable?
Oh, absolutely. You know, the one thing that you is essential to do as a leader is to be prepared to train your replacement. And so when I started at ground, you know, zero, so to speak, with this organization, it was how can I create content and clarity around the idea that's living in my head and put that out to the world in a way that's going to make sense. Be able to generate support, because we cannot do this without our amazing internal organization, which is 99% volunteers. We only have one paid contractor right now. Everybody else is doing this out of the kindness of their heart. From an internal standpoint, because we need people in order to operate an organization, but also be able to meet our constituents and deliver a quality of service that's going to impact their lives in a way that's important to us, so that we're not just another veteran service organization. We're not just here to add more noise to our already very noisy marketplace. And so that takes research, that takes connection. And despite the fact that I've been doing this for over a decade, I had never operated a nonprofit organization. You know, I have a for-profit business background, and there are similarities in the sense that you're still operating a business, but there's also a lot of different processes to that. Mm-hmm. So how do you convince people to work for free? That's not easy stuff, right? You got to know how to convey value in what you're doing and make sure that you're talking to the right people, get them involved, right? I needed a board of directors. I couldn't be an army of one. I had to have people that were really going to help strategically, that were going to contribute their expertise and their strengths as a business leader, as an entrepreneur, as a community representative, whatever background and skills that they had. How could I take that and translate it into something that was going to help our mission move forward? So there was a lot of that. There was a lot of, you know, mind mapping. There was a lot of, you know, just working on the business plan. And, you know, I came into it fully anticipating that there's just going to be a cost involved in this. You know, a lot of organizations, they start out with fundraising. I took a bit of a different approach. I wanted to have a proof of concept first, meaning that I wanted to prove the need for our program before I went and started soliciting donations. So I was able to use my for-profit company to aid and the needs of our organization from a financial standpoint. Startup costs, you know, marketing costs, having a website, all of these things. In the nonprofit sector, those types of components, although they're very necessary, it's also frowned upon to use donor dollars to, you know, for those specific items. So I knew that, and I didn't want to have any question about why we needed what we needed or what was going to be necessary just to make sure that we had a position in the marketplace in an online world. And so I came into it fully anticipating that there was going to be an investment needed. And I had a plan to, again, show the need for our program first and then start to solicit support from a financial standpoint. So that required research, that required people, that required, you know, documentation of what it was going to look like, that required, you know, our programmatic material. What does our program consist of? What is the educational component of this? How are we teaching people? What does the infrastructure look like? You know, are we doing it through things like Zoom or, you know, GoToMeeting or Google Hangout? You know, again, operating in a remote environment is very different than having, you know, a brick and mortar facility. And because we do serve nationwide, technology was our friend from the very beginning. And we wanted to make sure that we minimize overhead and maximize our reach in terms of impact. A lot of it is free for us as nonprofits. You know, there's a lot of incredible tools and programs and certifications and knowledge and information that's available at a very low cost or no cost at all to nonprofit organizations. And so education is key, you know, knowing what you're doing and just doing it and then figuring the rest out as you're doing it is important. And also having a good support system through that process. You know, connect with people that know more than you. You know, don't be afraid to not be the smartest person in the room. It's okay. If anything, it's an advantage to be able to learn from others' mistakes and, you know, save your organization a whole bunch of heartache. And that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to connect with people from diverse backgrounds so that it wasn't just my perspective. It's a nonprofit organization. I don't own this organization, you know, and it's very much a public organization. We're here to provide a service, to provide a service to our transitioning military community. That's what we're here for. So it's not about what Adrian wants. It's not about what, you know, anybody else in our organization wants as a single unit. It's about how can we effectively come together to make sure that this mission is adequately served and that we're continuing to move forward and grow and expand as the need expands, because we have 500 veterans that are getting out of the military every single day. That's not a short order. There's a lot of veterans that need assistance and need support. So it's not about any one person. It's about the collective. And I really do feel that way. So
you made an important comment talking about the support that you had doing this. Who did you talk to before you got started? Where did you find them? Are these volunteers, these people on your board, are these strategists? Tell me more about that piece.
So let my board members tell you that I like track them down and convince them to join the board. I really did. But, you know, I love networking, and networking has been such a powerful tool for me from the very early stages of when I was getting out of the military. I, you know, when I first got out, the first thing that I did was I became a mortgage broker. I knew nothing about selling mortgages. And I did this in 2007 when I was first released out of active duty. Well, guess what happened in 2008? So it wasn't exactly a booming market, if you will. And I learned to be very scrappy and resourceful. I was going on Craigslist and emailing people from Craigslist. So that creativity, if you will, having, you know, a shoestring kind of budget was very much prevalent today. And so I just started reaching out to the people I knew. I've been in the sector for a long time. So I'm very fortunate that I know a lot of people that work in the veterans benefits arena, if you will. Mm-hmm. And I just started, hey, pitching people my idea, anybody that would listen, whether I was connecting with them through social media channels, through referrals, through people that I already knew, I would just talk to whoever was willing to listen. And guess what? I learned so much because through these calls, through these connections, they would say, hey, you need to talk to do, 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 do. And then they would make an introduction. And then from there, I would connect to somebody else. And then also utilizing LinkedIn. LinkedIn has been a huge, powerful tool for me. And I'm certainly not here to promote any specific channel because they all have their intended purposes. But LinkedIn was great from a professional standpoint. And, you know, as a veteran, we have access to LinkedIn Premium for free for 1 year. So I took advantage of that, started making a lot of connections through there. You know, LinkedIn Learning has a lot of courses, even as simple as how to use LinkedIn for veterans. So taking courses like that and just learning how to utilize these tools. Facebook has amazing groups. There's so many veterans in Facebook groups, you know, and learning to tap into that. And just connecting with people. Again, connecting with people, being interested so that I could be interesting, right? Just really wanting to learn about where people were at, what their ideas were, how they felt about, you know, the needs, because there's a lot of challenges that impact veterans. There's many. You have to pick one, right? You have to be an expert in an arena so that you can have clarity around that. And I knew that I had an expertise in benefits, but I really was trying to understand where that disconnect from, hey, there's all of these amazing resources out there, but wait, I have no idea what I'm doing. Where does that start? It starts at transition. Mm-hmm. And that's the only point in your military journey in which benefits become a priority. And so I knew that transition was the answer in terms of who we needed to speak to. And I knew that already going into it, but it was confirmed by the many, many, many people that I spoke to, posing questions, you know, through these channels, creating surveys and asking people to take 5 minutes to just fill out my survey. You know, really just picking people's brains. People are some of the best teachers. Their own life experiences, their mistakes, their triumphs, everything. I learn so much from connecting with people. And if there was ever one thing that I would say would be kind of my secret sauce, if you will, is just that. It's talking to people. Be willing to listen. Always be a learner. Again, be very interested in what people have to say. Ask more questions. You know, you'll be shocked at what you can learn from a simple conversation.
It sounds like you did a great job networking. Really wonderful. That's kind of a dirty word in a lot of military circles. Like, oh, right. Networking, that's bad. Right. Thing. What would you say to someone that wants to start a nonprofit, but they're not really willing to share their vision and their story and go talk to as many people as you talk to? What would you tell that person?
Well, first and foremost, you have to change your mindset because you have to remember that nobody owns a nonprofit. There is no equity stake in this. This is not your organization. The fact that you're a founder in the large scheme of things really doesn't mean anything other than you're providing your story as to the why the organization exists. But if I was to get voted out tomorrow, then Savvy would continue, and as it should. It's not my organization. So first and foremost, I would say, don't be afraid to share your idea because it's intended to be shared. That's what a nonprofit is. It's coming up with creative solutions to be able to tackle larger problems and serve as many people as possible. And so with that in mind, I think that it lowers your defenses. And the reality is that if you're not willing to collaborate, nonprofit work might not be for you, because if there's one thing that you have to learn how to do in the nonprofit sector is be very strategic, be very creative, and collaborate, collaborate, collaborate. These missions are not satisfied by one person. It takes a village. It takes a community. It takes the entire world to be able to do these things. And, you know, people have large visions, you know, to end world hunger, you know, be able to satisfy 200,000 veterans that are getting out every year. These are large orders, and that is certainly not an Adrian job. That is a community job. That's, again, it's how do we bring people together?
You mean you're not an army of one? You're not doing this all on your own?
I am absolutely not. And I wish I could give you a whole list of praises right now about all of the people that have been, I won't say behind me, but right next to me and really taking this forward, because they nurtured it, you know. And sure, I had plenty of people that called me crazy. That's okay. That nurtured me too, because why do you think I'm crazy, right? I need to be able to know what questions or what resistance is going to come up before it does, so that I know how to address it. Because there is going to be resistance in anything, right? When you're doing something big, there's going to be a level of resistance. But take that challenge as an opportunity to really grow as a leader, grow as an individual, and maximize your impact. Because again, it is more than just about you and what you want. And, you know, be okay with not being right. That's probably the best lesson. I can't tell you how many times I've been wrong, and it's made me so much better for it. And I'm okay with that. I own that. I own my mistakes. I own the things that I've done incorrectly. And guess what? It won't happen again, right? But had I never made that mistake to begin with, then I wouldn't have been able to grow from it. So there's great power in connection. There's great power in sharing your vision. Again, it's not your vision to own. If you're going into this world, then you have to be willing to share your ideas. You have to be willing to talk to people so that you can solicit that support that you need to have an incredible organization and be able to satisfy the mission that you're dedicated to. And on the other side of that too, is that, hey, maybe starting your own organization isn't the best idea. Maybe collaborating with an existing organization will give you so much more impact that much more quickly. It's not easy starting a nonprofit. It is not easy starting a business, period. And so if you can collaborate with an existing organization that already has a similar mission, is serving the same community that you are, save yourself a lot of time and heartache. Use that same ambition, that energy, that passion, and give back to somebody that's already playing in the same space. There's a lot of us that are out there, you know, again, 50,000 plus just in the military veteran community as a whole. I don't even know what that number is, but regardless of what you're trying to do, I'm sure there's an organization that exists that's similar, maybe not exact, similar, that would be so excited to hear your idea. So don't be afraid to pitch it.
You mentioned earlier that your organization is 99% volunteer, and I'm assuming that means there's more than four people in your organization.
Yes, there is.
How do you get all the volunteers? What kind of, do you like lure them into a van with candy? I don't know how this works in a digital world.
I thought
world.
Of that. I really did. You know, you'd be surprised. Fundamentally, you just got to ask, and you would be shocked at how many people will say yes, because they hear your passion. You know, you have to convey your story. The why in what you do is more important than the what, because that speaks to your character. That speaks to the fuel that's going to take this thing forward. And I always just share my story. Again, if you're willing to listen, thank you so much. Let's talk about it. But more important than me, what motivates you? And I always lead again with being interested in people. I'm always looking for ways to add value to people. And this was never just about Savvy. I don't know how many people I connected to other organizations that ended up being volunteers with them and not with Savvy. And that's okay, because they're still serving the same mission. They're still serving vets. And so it's about making the right fit and having passionate people behind you. But it may not be the right fit for you. It may be for somebody that you know. But guess what? The organizations that we refer to, they do the same. They refer to us all the time.
Whoa. I thought we were supposed to fight other nonprofits and try to steal donors and all those terrible things.
You can. It's a tough job to constantly be fighting. It's a little bit exhausting. But guess what? It's a lot easier and a lot more impactful when you collaborate. And, you know, at the end of the day, again, we're all fighting the good fight. We're all here to serve vets, and that's what matters most. And again, I am confident that with goodwill that you put out, good intentions, that will come back tenfold. And I may not see it now, but, you know, tomorrow, 5 years, 10 years from now, that I have confidence that that will come back. That's not why I do it. I do it because I genuinely am interested in providing value to people. And having that as a genuine intention with anybody that I connect with has been the most valuable thing I've ever been able to do for my career, for my personal development, for my sanity, for my motivation, and to really be able to gather people. Because you become aligned with their values and you see what's important to them. And then you can bring clarity around matching a project opportunity to what matters to them most. And that's how you get people that are really committed to your cause, because you're speaking their language. Mm-hmm. You're not just trying to fit everybody into your idea. You're trying to meet them where they're at. And when you're working with volunteers, it's important to not only cultivate that interest, but maintain it over a period of time. And that can be hard. But when you have a personal relationship with those people, it becomes a lot easier, because now you're treating them as people, not as volunteers, not as, you know, whatever label title that they have in your organization. You're just treating them as people, and you're all working in this together, with a set mission, with a set goal in mind. And that has been the most beautiful thing. I've had plenty of no's. Don't get me wrong. I'm not, closing everybody I talk to. And again, not everybody is a fit for us, and that's okay. That is perfectly okay. But I can't even tell you the amazing people that have contributed so much to our organization, from our logo to our Salesforce customization. There's all sorts of projects that normally would have cost thousands and thousands of dollars that we've been able to get from amazing volunteers in our community that have a skill set. Maybe they couldn't financially contribute, but they have a skill set that was able to help us as an organization move forward and be able to satisfy our mission. Mm-hmm. So I could give you countless stories about that. Our volunteers, our advisors, our board of directors, I can't tell you how grateful I am for each and every one of them, because they truly are the stars of the show. They really are. They help me be able to take my idea forward, which I feel so humbled by, that anybody would support my dreams and vision, but really they're supporting the impact that we're having, which is what matters. And when you see the difference that it makes to vets, and you hear the stories about, how thankful they are and how much more clarity they have now in their process, and how much, of the tension that you relieved and the concern that they had and how you've helped their family. All the hardship, all the challenge goes out the window. It matters not. So, that's how I'm going every day. And again, I'm just happy that I've been able to connect with amazing people that are able to see that vision and that are willing to give their time, because that means a lot. It really does. People's time is very precious. So,
yeah, and all of the things you said are all hallmarks of fantastic leadership,
right?
Because it's not about you. It's about the vision. It's about growing together. It's about using the team, not leveraging the team, the fact that you're greater together than you are apart. And you do things like partner with Berkeley to get up and coming students to do great things on your behalf.
Right. Right. So we connected, well, first and foremost, as a kind of backtrack a little bit, we connected with Google in the very early stages. Google has Google for Nonprofits, and they have a lot of incredible resources that are available to nonprofits. And again, I'm not promoting anybody. This is certainly not an advertisement, but they have some really incredible things that you can take advantage of, like the Google Ads Grant. And we applied for the Google Ads Grant a couple of years ago, and we got awarded the ads grant, and it was really incredible. It's the first thing that I had ever applied for from a grant standpoint and got it awarded. So I was super excited about that. And then I quickly realized that now that you have it, you actually have to do something with it. Like, you can't just have it. And I know there's like an actual maintenance process to this. So I called upon my network, and this is actually one of the individuals that is our paid contractor. So, but it's been very valuable to us, because he specializes in Google Ads, and we knew that we didn't have that expertise. There is a certain click-through rate that you have to maintain in order to keep your grant active. And so it's important that you're aware of what that consists of. And so through him, we have been able to maintain that grant now for over a year. And it's been really, really incredible for our organization from an awareness standpoint. And then subsequently, Google actually allows you to connect with volunteers that may be able to help you with your account. And so we submitted a request. Again, don't be afraid to ask, because these things are out there. This is not anything secret or that's not available to everybody. You know, Savvy is not special in any way in the sense of what we have access to. And so this is something that's available to any nonprofit to be able to tap into. So we submitted a request, and all of a sudden I get an email from a student at Berkeley, and they said, hey, we've been matched with you. We think your organization is great, and we would love to help support your account. And so now have volunteered with us. And so we still have our expert that's working with them. And that's beautiful to see, you know, our contractors and our internal support working with volunteers to help, again, bring our mission forward. And he's making sure there's some oversight, but the students are going to be managing our account, and they get real world experience, and we get support as an organization. So it's a win-win for everybody. And that same model has been translated into our marketing apprenticeship program, which we've been managing from the very early stages. And we've had some incredible marketing apprentices that have come through our program. Which now our current apprentice has been with us for almost 6 months. The average apprenticeship is only about 3 months. So she decided to extend, and I mean, we couldn't do what we do without her. She keeps us on social. She keeps, you know, amazing content out there, again, helping to spread awareness, education about our mission and what we do. And marketing, especially in today's world, is so important. And again, it's one of those components that as a nonprofit, it's sometimes it's hard to justify investing into these things because the return isn't always clear. But all of these individuals, for the most part, with the exception of our main lead, they're all volunteers. And so seeing that come together and seeing how you can give value to people through experience, because they're gaining real world experience that they're going to hopefully take to their next job, to their career, to their businesses, whatever it is that they're looking to do. So it creates a cycle of giving back, and it also helps us connect with volunteers in a way that's meaningful to them.
So is this digital apprenticeship program, is that something you all started?
No, we actually partnered with a organization that had been doing this for some time. They have access to online training and curriculum. And then we subsequently took that. We partnered with them from a connection with the students and making sure that we were getting veterans and military spouses into the program. It's only 5 to 10 hours a week for the course of the 3 months. But then we added a project manager, so somebody that would actually manage the apprenticeship, give the apprentice weekly tasks, conduct a weekly review for them so that they have feedback, so that they know whether they're doing it right. And so we created a supplemental kind of process on top of our partnership, and we made it our own. And now we're utilizing that in other arenas, like getting Salesforce administrators that need real world experience, getting them an apprenticeship opportunity, because we work with Salesforce. And Salesforce has an incredible program called the VetForce program, which helps veterans and military spouses get accredited to become a Salesforce administrator. Again, this is not a promotional thing. It's completely free to veterans, military. Anybody that's listening to this, I'm not paid by any of the people that I mentioned. So, yeah.
We'll have to do a voiceover.
Right.
The beginning, she's going to say this. I'm for realsies. She is not promoting any specific one company or thing.
You know, Salesforce does offer the nonprofit success pack to nonprofits, 10 licenses for free. I love free. If you haven't noticed, I'm like all about resources. I'm all about maximizing value, and these things are free. So please, if you're a nonprofit, look into these things. These things are there for you to take advantage of. And, you know, we were able to use another organization that's a membership organization for volunteers and connect with several volunteer Salesforce administrators who have been customizing our system now. These are month-long projects, 3 months, 6 months that they've been working with us, all volunteer. And again, we couldn't be more grateful, because I am not a techie at all. That's not my background. And my jaw is on the floor every time I see the potential of a lot of these tools and systems. And I'm like, and they're free? Like, why isn't every nonprofit taking advantage of this? So it's out there. Do a little research. Get creative on how you connect with volunteers. You know, students are incredible people to connect with and get some apprenticeship programs going. It's a great way to get support with some of these, you know, processes that are not always going to be top of the line when it comes to investing your money into. There's creative ways that you can get it for free and get amazing work done.
Now, I wasn't sure if I was going to ask this, but I'm going to ask this. You don't have to answer if you don't want to, but is okay. Your Google Ad Grant manager, is that Preston Cohn?
No, it's not.
Oh.
Although I have connected with Preston, and he's a guy. But no, that is not who it is. And he is again. I know he does a lot of incredible work and stuff. But yeah, we've been working. The individual that we've been utilizing, I've been using him for my for-profit company. I've been working with him for years. So unfortunately, Preston, I met most recently. So.
I just asked because my last interview that just came out last week was Preston Cohn.
Oh, nice.
2 weeks ago, yeah. We talked extensively on the Google Ad Grant. I was wouldn't that be interesting if that was Preston?
Yeah, no, I have connected with him, but he is not the one that's currently managed yet.
Well, I tell you what, you have absolutely crushed all this. I love your resourcefulness. I mean, your tagline might as well be, if it's free, it's for me.
That's a good one. I might have to keep that one. So,
but it's not all work, right?
No.
You get to have a little fun, and you collaborated, I use that term loosely, with some friends of mine, Gina and Lisa, and Pinups for Vets. And you did like a little photo shoot. Tell us about that.
Yeah, she was doing some, she does photo shoots for veterans, for female veterans, military spouses. And, I want to say that it was posted somewhere. Somebody shared it with me and I was like, oh, that looks really cool. I love anything pinup. Anybody that knows me, I'm all about vintage and classic looks. That's always been kind of my default when it comes to anything formal. So they're like, this is perfect for you. You should look into it. And I had heard about Gina and Pinups for Vets before. So I knew about her organization, thought it was an amazing opportunity. And so I went out there, had an incredible photo shoot, met some amazing military spouses. It was such a great day. And then come to find out afterwards that day was actually being filmed for Returning the Favor. So I got to be a part of that, which was a nice little added bonus. Definitely didn't anticipate that at all. I am a volunteer with her organization, so I've supported a couple of the events that she's done, and I'm still connected to her group. So yeah, she's a really incredible person, has been, you know, serving the veteran community for some time now, and love her story and what her organization does. And again, this is what I mean about just connecting with other organizations that are doing great things. We have a monthly resource webinar where we highlight other organizations and the services that they offer. We've had some really incredible people on, and I'm just, again, I'm so humbled to be surrounded by so many do-gooders and people that are just having such a big impact and giving of their time, because most of us are volunteers. You know, we're doing this because we're passionate about the missions that we serve and what it means to us and what it means to the community.
Well, your passion, your leadership, and everything you do is just so really needed and appreciated. In this world, especially during this time, especially during this season in so many lives. In seasons like this, there are some people out there that are really struggling. And there is a bunch of people out there that are still crushing it. They still have incomes. They're still doing really well. What does fundraising look like in a COVID world?
Well, you know, you have to be very sensitive about how you bring it up. Be sensitive to the fact that there is a lot of people that are struggling, and maybe now isn't the time to fundraise. You know, that's a very personal decision that I feel every organization needs to make, depending on what their mission is, depending on whether COVID is impacting directly the constituents that they serve, in the sense of like, how is it adding stress or tension to their situations? From our kind of perspective, it definitely is impacting the veterans that are getting out of the military. You know, there's already a great uncertainty around transition, and now there's even greater uncertainty because of the economy and how many people are losing jobs. And a lot of our vets are in the middle of interviews and, you know, things like that. So just really being able to see the silver lining in all of this, and knowing that wherever there is challenge, there's also opportunity, being flexible with the ways that we do business. Luckily, Savvy has been operating remotely since the beginning. So from a day-to-day workload perspective, that has not changed for us. We still use tools and technology to be able to serve our mission and meet our constituents and be able to provide them the services that we do. So that hasn't changed. But in terms of how we engage with our supporters, you know, checking in on our volunteers, reaching out to any current donors, potential donors, not from the sense of like, hey, we need money. That's still very much a fact. I mean, you know, everybody is in need of support right now, but just checking in on them, seeing how they're doing. Are they okay? Is there anything that you can do to maybe help support them as, you know, they're impacted right now? I don't think that it's the time to really be too concerned with the tomorrows and how, am I going to get money at that next event? Or am I going to, you know, that's not the time. Right now is the time to focus on genuine connection. Focus on bringing in skills to address some of the projects that maybe you've been, you know, having pending for a while. How do you engage with your board? Maybe looking at developing some new skills in digital fundraising. Are you having any online events? If you are, what does that look like? What is the goal? What is the objective? How can you engage people? And again, all of this while being sensitive to the fact that there is a lot of strain right now. There is a lot of challenge going on in the marketplace. And there's a lot of people that are just not in a position to give, where maybe before they were in a position to give. So just change the conversation, make it different, harness people's support in a way that still being sensitive to the current times, and look at how you can use their time and their talent to help your mission continue forward. Because at the end of the day, if you're able to get skilled volunteers to meet the demands of what you would normally be paying for, like managing your Google Ads grant, right? I don't need the money if I can get a skilled volunteer to help me do that. And so being creative in that way and saying, okay, these are the things that we need to be able to continue doing. How can we connect our volunteers to make sure that these processes are still going forward? Ask people. Don't be afraid to ask. I mean, that's really the biggest thing, because you don't know what the situation is. And, you know, don't assume that everybody is not able to give. Don't assume that everybody is not in a position to volunteer, because more people are home now. So if anything, they may have a little bit more time on their hands. So maybe they're willing to give that to you. And if you're lucky enough to do that, you know, be humble, be grateful. And of course, always be sensitive to the fact that if there is a no, it may just be a no for now because of what's going on.
Oh, absolutely. And this has been a time where I've seen a lot of people that are actually, you know, building and strengthening those connections and bonds. Some of the best conversations I've had recently is I've dropped them a little note on Facebook and just said that you've been on my mind and you know, I want to know how you're doing. And something like that, just you know, reaching out and then letting people know that you're thinking about them and you care about them. Right. And all of a sudden, like, hey, how have you been? I haven't talked to you forever. Let's get on a call. You know, I miss you. What's going on? And it works the same with your volunteers. It works the same with your donors. It doesn't have to be and asked, or it can be no need. Just you can do these things without expectation.
Absolutely.
Just see where the road takes you.
It goes a long way. It really goes a long way. If you show genuine interest in people and concern for how they're doing, it's amazing what may come out of that. So yeah, reach out, connect, check in with people. And, you know, if they have a little extra time and stuff, you know, already have some projects lined up. Don't just reach out without any kind of goal or intention in mind. Know what you need support with. Be okay with still being clear than the fact that you need support. And, you know, be flexible with how that support looks and how people are willing to give of themselves. Again, time, treasure, talent, anything that they're willing to give, be appreciative for that, because I feel like that goes such a long way. And now is the time to really rely on your community.
Well, Adrienne, this has been quite the pleasure. This is not the first time we've talked, and I hope it's not the last time we talked. I'll be starting my transition here before you know it. I'll definitely reach out about them benefits. What is the best way for people to connect with you?
So first and foremost, our website has really great information about our organization. So www.savvy, that's S-A-V as in Victor, I, vets, plural, VETS.org. That's our website. You can always reach us by email, info@savvyvets.org. And then our phone number is 844-400-SAVVY, 7284.
Oh, you know, crushed it.
You like that? See? That was like the perfect answer. we're on social. We're online. Give us a call. Shoot us an email. We're always happy to help. And if you're ever going to refer a veteran to us, you know that we will reach out to them within 48 business hours. That is our commitment. So I encourage anybody, if you know somebody getting out of the military, let us know. We would love to support. And I thank you. Thank you for having me on. I love what you're doing. I'm excited to support your transition. And, you know, if any nonprofits that are out there, you know, keep your head up, keep fighting the good fight. It's a tough time, but we will get through this. And again, don't forget to check in on your volunteers. You know, those are the people that are really going to continue to power your organization and help you get through this challenging time. So thank you so much.
You've been listening to The Nonprofit Architect. To listen to all our past shows, visit http://nonprofitarchitect.org. And be sure to subscribe, rate, and review our show. Thank you.